welcome back to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast with me, Patrick Canelli. We're looking ahead to the first of three back-to-back Grand National weekends. And it's a bit of a curiosity. The Scottish Grand National is before the Antrim Grand National. It's all to do with Easter and all these weird, wonderful things and fixture lists, and they all change. Then, of course, Antrim next weekend. And then the following weekend on Easter Monday, as always, the Irish Grand National. So staying handicap chasers, you've got three brilliant weekends. Before I bring in Matt Chapman and Frank Hickey, who are the two guests this weekend, a quick reminder that because Aintree's on next week, we're going to have a podcast for every single day. We'll have a daily tipping pod, and the first one will hopefully land, fingers crossed, Wednesday afternoon or evening ahead of Thursday's action, and then another one the next day, and so on. So keep an ear out for those. And also, for those of you who did like our rewind show, Paul Carby on the Cheltenham Festival and Ruby, well, Paul Carby might be talking all things Antrim Grand National. Nice little rewind show. Keep an ear and an eye out for that on the Paddy Power social channels, as well as the Grand National quiz as well. I believe that might be it. Might even be on Virgin Media Sport, but will definitely be on the social channels as well. So just keep an eye and ear out for those. Matt Chapman, were you on the Grand National quiz?
No.
Good, because your performance on the Cheltenham quiz was deplorable. So no,
I was on the Grand National quiz.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So I carried my team into second place.
You were better on the Grand National quiz than the Cheltenham one?
I mean, no one likes to show off. I was adequate. You're the kind of man who'd say, yeah, I was this and that, but I'm not a show off or a big head, so I was adequate.
That is the sarcastic laughter of Frank Hickey joining the party. Frank, you weren't on these quizzes. You would have had a bit of crack with these.
No. Come here. You have to give the others a chance, for God's sake.
Okay, right, let's get cracking, lads. Let's talk about Scottish Grand National meeting air. It is live at ITV. 1:15 is the first live race. It's the first race on the card. It's the first race on ITV. And it is a 2-mile listed handicap chase. Sebastopol is the 5-2 favourite. 9-2 Dubai Days. Interesting, because Matt Chapman basically lives in Dubai now. 5-1 for Ballistic. 5-1 Gold Day Bois. That's been well back. 6-1 Sow. 12-1 A Big of the Rest. Right, Matt, you've just come back from Dubai. Are you tipping up Dubai Days?
No, I'm not. Although I will be back in Dubai when that horse is running. But I don't know. Can we say Gold Day Bois Dubai? Gold Day Bois. That is my selection, the 115. Look, I think some of these races are really, really tricky. This was one of them. I can't say that I'm particularly confident about Gold Day Bois, but he is edging down the handicap, £10 lower than when second at Kelso in October. And I think he'll travel pretty well for most of this race. And travelling well is the key to finding winners at Ayr. They just go skipping around that track. I think he'll run okay at big odds. So Gold Day Bois each way, or Gold Dubai each way.
We won't get into the pronunciation.
Have you ever been to Cork, Matt? No.
Cork, of course I've been to Cork.
Yeah, you nearly get away with saying Gold Dubai down there. as I know well.
On by.
Please, you said that.
Exactly. Well, I'm from Cork, so I'm entitled to pull the nick out.
Yeah, but you're not typical, are you? Because you don't go Cork.
No, I'm a little bit.
You have to go Cork, Frankie. Frank.
Cork, boy.
You have a very soft Cork accent, Frank, to be fair. Yeah, you have a very soft. Gold Day Bois has been well backed, by the way. I know Matt Chapman put it up on his blog before we went live, so maybe that must have been it. 7-5-1.
I missed it this week.
I heard, look, Frank, I've sent it to you. Don't worry. Right, Frank, your thoughts on the 115?
Look, his favourite, but Sebastopol, I think, is going to be tough enough to beat. I thought he was very impressive at Kempton, off a little bit of a break, cruised through the race, won very easily. Maybe the visor was the key to him. He's always had a bit of potential, but maybe wasn't the most resolute in the finish. Look, he won very easily. £8 rise won't stop him if he's in the same form. But Golden Boy Grey came out and won at Ascot easily enough last week, beating Time White, who was apparently well handicapped. So the form's been franked, and the drier the ground, the better for him. If he replicates that sort of performance, he'd be hard to beat.
Fair enough. Okay, Frank, tip up a favourite. My like ears always prick.
Sounds like the equine Paddy Power, doesn't it? You know, a little bit of ability, but irresolute in the finish.
He's not even on the pod to defend himself on this occasion. He's probably playing golf. Right, we'll move on to the 150. It's a novice handicap chase, and Dusart tops the weight and the handicap. He has his sights massively lowered. I'm trying to take on the Grade 1 horses at Cheltenham Festival. 5-2 favourite in the these famous, the Albert Bartlett silks, let's call them Ronnie Bartlett silks, 9-2 for Sounds Russian, 5-1 Sail Away, 6-1 Doyen Breed for Sandy Thompson, who loves a winner at this festival, 7-1 Lord Accord and the Golden Rebel. Well, I suppose, Frank Hickey, I tried to get Matt Chapman to tip up a horse because he's always in Dubai. You're going to tip up the Golden Rebel as you're from the Rebel County.
I'm not, even though it's very promising times for Cork hurling.
Yes.
They're playing at the moment, yeah. They were very good against Kilkenny last week, so I think they're playing Waterford. Is it this week or next week?
Matt Chapman's left the building already.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, I won't tip him up.
You'd be surprised now, Matt. A lot of people care about hurling.
Doyen Breed for me. Look, Dusart, he ran well enough at Cheltenham, to be fair, beaten 14 and a half lengths by Long Press. My worry would be Cheltenham's a lot closer here this year than other years, and I'd be wary of backing anything that had a hard race at Cheltenham. It was one just a little over 2 weeks ago. So for me, Doyen Breed, I wouldn't say he's absolutely chucked in off a mark of 141, but he's won nicely enough this season. He's been beating Hematom up in Hexham. Hematom probably a bit disappointing now, but he's been second to the likes of 300 through 5, and does he know, a mark of 141, probably okay. Like, he was fifth in the Grade 1 over 3 miles in the entry last year. As you said, Sandy Thompson's probably, you know, had this in mind for a while. So he'll do me each way. We're under him a little bit, just keep him on sight. You get a bit bigger elsewhere.
Okay, Doyen Breed for Frank. Matt?
Well, Frank knows I've gone for Doyen Breed because he has read the blog, of course. I just thought he's a very strong stare. Second in the Grade 2 at Ascot was a pretty decent effort. But it was more just the stamina angle. I thought some of these might be weaker at the trip. I think he'll be plodding on. So, yeah, I think he's got a good chance. It is you have to remember, although this is a sort of fancy name for a race, it is a handicap chase at the end of the day. And I agree with Frank. I don't think he's chucked in. I mean, he's not, if you believe it, he's 30 pounds off Gold Cup class. Well, he'd be about 30 fences behind the leader in the Gold Cup. But I think he has got a good chance here.
Okay. Couple of votes for Doyen Breed. The lads very much in agreement. We move on to the Scottish Champion Hurdle, this Grade 2. But remember, it is a handicap. West Cork, who's been running in the big handicaps, the likes of the County and the Great Wood, is the 11-4 favourite for Dan and Harry Skelton. One More for the Road is 3-1. Milkwood bids to win back-to-back renewals. And if you're looking at a horse who likes these big handicap hurdles, he won this last year. He won the goal, or sorry, he was second in the Galway hurdle as well. And he's running the Betfair as well. So he's 100-30. Barrichello for Formula One fans has been back to 11-2. Anna Bonina for John McConnell does well with his Scottish Raiders, 6-1. 17-2. Alcamar, now that's been really well backed. And 12-1 Bar. All right, Matt Chapman, let's have the Scottish Champion hurdle winner, please.
I remember bagging in Milkwood on the blog this time last year. But I think, you know what? My feeling with West Cork and Milkwood is they're high enough in the handicap now. Milkwood has to give £8 to West Cork. I'd be surprised if he's good enough to do that. And I wanted to go with the other in-form horse, who is quite exposed now, but might still actually be improving. And that is One More for the Road. I thought his run at Sandown last time when fourth in a big field suggested that he's actually still getting better, even though he was beaten. He's actually been popped down £1 for that run. So while I think it was a good run, the handicapper clearly doesn't think it was quite as good. And I think it's more the fact he's just on 10 stone 10. I think that's a good racing weight against West Cork and Milkwood. So One More for the Road.
One More for the Road for Matt Chapman. Frank Hickey.
Yeah, I'd agree with Matt's point there about Milkwood. Look, he's off of 150. I'd be surprised if he's able to defy that, even though it's not the strongest renewal of the race. West Cork would be my idea the most likely winner, but my issue with him is he ran the county hurdle 2 weeks ago. And it's not ideal. Look, he ran a cracker. He was fourth Stateman, First Street, and Lorna Fowler's horse, Colonel Mustard. I think, you know, the right horses were to the fore there. But for me, it's just too close. I think One for the Road is very solid. Drier ground's definitely going to suit him. And he did run well at Sandown considering the ground was soft. But for me, at the prices, I'm going to chance Socialist Agenda each way with the pieces on. Like, he won at Musselburgh last time out. He's what, £12 lower. Look, it's not ideal for him that he's out of the handicap, but at the same time, he is improving. He's 5 from 7. He had Anna Bonina behind that day. At the price, I think he'll drift from 12-1, and I'd have a small few bob each way. The cheap pieces suggest that maybe he might kick on in front. I'm not sure. will he have much opposition maybe for the lead? That's what I'm hoping.
Do you have a socialist agenda, Frank?
I'm not a socialist. I can tell you that for certain.
Very much straight into the capitalist club. Right, we'll move on to the 3 o'clock. This is the Future Champions Novice Chase, which I think in name only is the Future Champions Novice Chase. It's a grade two. There's only the five runners, and I don't think we're going to have too many champions here. Minella Drama is the 15-8 favourite. 5-2, Do Your Job for Richard Patrick and Michael Skidmore. Il Redotto for Bryony Frost and Paul Nichols, 7-2. Kiltini Breaks is 6-1, as is Jacobar. That's the field, Frank Hickey. Five runners, grade two. Not a good grade two, but a winner's a winner.
No, it's not the strongest grade two. I probably side with Manila Drama here. He's got the £5 penalty, but Katili Briggs ran the ultima, was pulled up. You know, again, it was relatively close and he was pulled up. Do Your Job. Good, solid horse. I know he won over 2.5 at Newcastle the last day, but that wasn't probably the deepest handicap ever. And I just have a small bit of a question mark still about his stamina. And like Il Redotto and Jack Mares are, you know, they're good horses, but yeah, they're not grade two horses either at the same time. So for me, like, a process of elimination, Manila Drama, even with the penalty. He sidestepped Cheltenham for this. So, yeah, I'll stick with him, even though he is favourite. But, you know, you could argue 15-8 is a bit of value.
Two favourites for Frank Hickey in four races. This is record stuff. Matt Chapman?
Yeah. I mean, look, there are a lot worse things going on in the world than stupid race titles. But I just don't get what it is with race courses that they give these races these ridiculous titles. I mean, the chance of a future champion coming out of this race is 1,000,000 to 1. And it's been the same every single year. It's not like it's just this year. And these are, air aren't the only course. So many courses seem to think that if you put a title that says super champion or the world's greatest horse, possibly one day novice hurdle, that you're going to get, I mean, like, who do they think they're kidding? In fact, I think it's more embarrassing than anything else. I don't get it. Anyway, rant over. As I say, it's not the most important thing on earth. You can call it what you like, but we had the other day at Lingfield a ridiculous handicap called the something Oaks. I mean, give us a break. But anyway, Do Your Job. Something I'm told to do a lot. I think this is the one horse that might just be improving a little bit. And also only went up to this distance last time and won. I just thought it was the one horse who might have a bit more improvement. So Do Your Job is the most likely winner for me and will definitely not be a future champion.
Oh, I think that's fair to say. You're setting yourself up for a fall there, Air, I'm afraid to say. Okay, let's go to the big race at Air. It is the Scottish Grand National. Now, we're going to have extra places. I think we would be six, Frank, I think, unless you want to correct me. We're recording earlier than usual.
Yeah, we're six.
Lovely. Six places on the Scottish National. So, five's the field at the time of recording. Kitty's Light is that favourite. He has been well back during the week. I see he's been pushed back out. He's 5-1. Nearly joint favourite with Christian Williams' other runner, Win My Wings, who won a lot of people a lot of money on this very blog when Ruby Walsh napped him for the Eider Chase. And at the time of recording, I think he was 16-1. Stormy Judge is 8-1. That's one of the Irish Raiders for Pat Fahey and Danny Mullins. 8 from 10s. 10-1 for The Wolf for Ollie Murphy, as is The Ferry Master. That's 10s. And Cool Mix, who's been very well backed over the course of the week. Ashtown Lad is 12-1, as is Major Dundee. It's 14-1 for the likes of Fantastic Ass and History of Fashion. And 16's Bar. Matt, you can go first this time. Give us the winner of the Scottish National.
Well, I'll make myself look stupid straight away. I'll be stunned if Kitty's Light wins. I've got to say, like, I fully understand it's going to be smuggled into the race. So maybe the horse will stay the trip. But I thought Brian Hughes gave Kitty's Light the perfect ride last time at Kempton and he still couldn't win. So I'll be stunned if Kitty's Light is good enough. I think Win My Wings is different. £8 higher than last time. And I think Win My Wings would have won the Eider with another £8 on its back. So I don't think that horse is impossible. But anyway, cutting it down, I'm going to go for a horse who lacks experience and has a terrible win-to-run record. So it doesn't sound great, does it? But I've just got a feeling History of Fashion for Pat Fahey might be a horse who looks like a completely different animal over this distance. He does have a win under his name at Down Royal over 3 miles. He was in the Eider and didn't complete, unseated at the sixth fence. And it has run since then and hasn't done an awful lot, although did again suggest that going up in trip would suit. But it's just a guess. But I have a feeling that History of Fashion might be a completely different horse over this distance. And Pat Fahey, although he's got another in the race who's almost in the same boat, I'm hoping History of Fashion is the right one, and he's the kind of canny trainer who could pull this out of the hat. I think there are a lot of exposed horses at the top of the market, and no one knows how good History of Fashion might be.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, he's got two in the race, and John McConnell sends over one, Streets of Doyen as well, the Irish Raiders. Okay, Frank, you love a staying handicap chase. You've got some old friends in
Matt
here.
Matt has the right trainer, but the wrong horse.
So close.
The Army Judge is the one. Oh, I'm very, very sweet. To be honest, when he ran his race in the Leinster National the last day, as soon as it was over, I was like, that'll win the Irish National. And to be fair, this race isn't anywhere near as strong as the Irish National. You're looking at like Hill 16 carries top weight of 147, and you have horses like rated in the low 120s getting a run here. This is it's not a very strong renewal. Like, if you go back and watch that race in Naas, he was held out the back, jumped really well, and I'd say about four out to the third last, which is, you know, the one before the swing in, he went from the back to the front in no time. Jumping really well, and then he just got tired between the last two and weakened out of it. But I thought as a prep run, it was absolutely magnificent. If you go back to last year, he had two runs in handicaps, first at Naas over 2.5 miles in heavy ground off a mark of 120. He won that day. It was a fair race, but the race at Navan is the key one. That was a really competitive novice handicap over 3 miles in heavy ground at Navan. And like, if you can stay 3 miles heavy ground in Navan, I don't think 4 miles and decent ground there should be much of an issue. He was on a £7 higher mark than Naas. He won really nicely. Two lengths in second was Enjoy Dallin, who's among the favourites for the Grand National now. Back another 10 lengths in third was Schoolboy Hours, who came out and won the Paddy Power this year. We even had Foxy Jacks back in sixth, who went on and won the Punchtown Festival. Ridiculously strong form. He got £12 for that. A mark of 139. He gets to run off his Irish mark. What's not to like? Honestly, I think this could go off favourite, and I've had a really good bet. I'm very keen on this. Like, genuinely, he could blow these away. I think he's different into these.
I was going to say sometimes it's hard when you're, this is a podcast, obviously, so no one can see Frank, but I can see Frank, and you can see the glint in your eye. I think he can hear it on this particular occasion.
Frank, when I saw the story breaking the Racing Post, he was being aimed at the Scottish National, I went on a bit of a spin around.
Oh, hitting all the shops again, were you? In the mask.
Texting Frank, a few friends as well.
Frank kicking in the mask. Yeah, watch out for him. Right, so Pat Fahey wins the Scottish National, folks. Matt says, with History Fashion, Frank Hickey makes the case for Stormy Judge. That's the Scottish National. That's six places. We're going to talk all things Newbury next in just one moment.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
And as Frank Hickey loves, how I say it, a very important message, that is, after Frank saying that he's been spinning round into shops with his mask on, getting as much on as possible, please do remember to gamble responsibly. I do stress that. The 135, we're going to go to Newbury now, folks. We've got some ITV races at Newbury. We're still over jumps. The 135 is the first race we're going to look at. It's a novice handicap hurdle over 2 miles, 3 furlongs. Surrey Quest for Nicky Henderson and Nathan Brennan. I'm going to ask you about Nathan Brennan because he's not too familiar to the pod at the moment. Matt Chapman, 4-1. Wyoming, fans of the Eurovision will know what I'm saying. Anyway, I think it's UK in French. 4-1 Punctuation, 9-2 Rainy Day Woman, 6-1 and Big of the Rest. All right, Matt, Nicky Henderson with a favorite. Nathan Brennan claims 7.
Yeah, and he's beginning to make a little bit of a name for himself. He's not going to be my selection in this race though, so he's not going to win this one.
Okay.
But we wish him well. It's funny because The Henderson jockeys, like Nico de Bonda, how long will he be around for? Nathan Brennan, obviously, is one that's coming through. The Bowen boy, he's been coming through. I mean, Nathan Brennan, if I remember rightly, well, at the time of speaking on the pod, he will go into this race with one ride, one win in a couple of weeks, at the very least. He would have got probably a handful of winners this season. He nearly went into double figures the season before this. So he's beginning to get his act together. And look, if you're used by Henderson, you can ride. But I'm not sure about Sarri Quest. He started well. He suddenly got worse and worse. I'm going for a horse who's quite, I think he's quite a big price, but I think he'll win. Mr. Marbles won last time, up a couple of pounds, likely to go from the front, likely raced and improving. Tom O'Brien for the master, Philip Hobbs. Mr. Marbles. While Frank loses his, I'll flow with Mr. Marbles.
I was wondering what joke was going to be said about the marbles, but yeah, you took it. You took it. Well, Frank,
yeah, I never had them in the first place to lose. So
I mean, that's a good point. One
No thoughts on this, Frank. We'll move on to the next.
No thoughts for me. No,
didn't, that's fine. That's fine. Put it in the too difficult basket.
You know,
the two,
like my responsible gambling in this race will offset my less responsible gambling in the Scottish National.
It's all about balance, folks. The 2:10 at Newbury is a near 3 miler handicap chase. La Cavsa Nostra is the, oh, by the way, this is the veterans chase final, I should say. La Cavsa Nostra has been in good form. Ones or Ewes or Peas in his name is the Knights 2 favourite. 5-1 first Figaro for Venetia Williams. What a season she's had. Psychedelic Rock 11-2. Indy 5 is 6-1. As is No Comment for Philip Hobbs. It's 13-2 Bermeo and 8-1 in Bigotus. I'm going to go back to you, Matt Chapman. The veterans chase final. I like this series.
Yeah, worth pointing out, it's for conditional jockeys as well. So basically you've got young riders on old horses. Which should be relatively safe conveyances. The favourite, La Cavsa Nostra, is probably not quite in that score, but he's the one I'm going with. Look, the one thing he is, he's very lightly raced for an old horse. He's 10-year-old, very lightly raced. Stays forever, like forever. He could do a 50-mile race, I think, La Cavsa Nostra. And he's up £3 for a success at Hereford. His jumping holds up under Hugh Nugent. He's very capable. Although he's the market leader, he's quite big odds. I think he's one of those, if he gets round, he'll win.
Yeah, there's a U and a P, but there's ones as well. There's more ones and letters at the moment in his name. Had you any thoughts on the veterans chase, Frank, or we move on?
I actually did, yeah. I thought there was a bit of an angle into it, and that was Bermeo on his first start for Harry Fry. Harry Fry is in red hot form. In the last 2 weeks, he's had 7 winners from 17 runners, 41% strike rate. He had a horse, I think, for these owners, How's the Cricket or something, on his first start for him run at Newton Abbott maybe a week or 10 days ago, was fairly well backed and won. And this Bermeo is actually fairly well handicapped now off a mark of 107. You go back to this time last year, he was rated 124 when trained by Johnny Farrelly. He had form at Cheltenham a little over 18 months ago when he won at the October meeting off a mark of 104, and he followed up then finishing just 3/4 of a length behind Storm Control off a mark of 111. So off 107 with the new year potentially, you know, spring him back to life. I thought he was a fair enough price at 13-2 with the yard absolutely bombing.
Okay, a couple of shouts there. One for La Cavsa Nostra, one for Bermeo. The main thing is if you find the winner in that race, you're getting a nice return because it is wide open. One more race from Newbury and kind of similar comments apply. It's wide open. It's a listed mares, or sorry, grade two mares, novice handicap hurdle. Speech Bubble at the time recording, 130 favourite. Could be going 4 places in this one. Corey's Courage, unbeaten. She's won 4 for 4. She's 5-1. 6-1, Sabrina. It's 8-1 for Next Door to Alice. Oh, we could get Matt Chapman singing. We'll see. 10-1, Nina the Terrier. 10-1, Holly Heart Tingo. 10-1, Good Luck Charm. And 12's Bar. Are you going to give us a rendition of Living Next Door to Alice, Matt? You're always asking Ruby for a song.
When's Paddy hosting this again? Quite soon, I believe. Nice to have you on board, Patrick. But, you know, you remember you're just the link man. You're not really there to ask questions particularly. Just let the expert speak.
Oh, the experts. Okay, yeah, off we go. Brian.
Speech Bubble. Noel Williams, Gavin Sheehan. I think this is fairly simple. Good second of Sandown last time. The form of that race, of course, was given the ultimate boost by Love Envoy winning at Cheltenham. Only got up £2 for that. She won at this track before. She seems to stay well. While she's not a massive price, in a race that I found it hard to sign something that would definitely run well, I think she will. So, Speech Bubble, Patrick. Speech. No singing.
Bubble. Living next door to Alice. Alice! Who the... No?
I bet you're one of these people who does the movements to YMCA as well.
Oh, man, and I nail it every time. Yeah. MYCA, that's the one, is it? all right, so another favourite, this time tipped up by Matt Chapman. Speech bubble 130. Frank Hickey, this is a wide open race. Had you any angle into it?
I just really like Speech Bubble. I think she's a really nice horse. I was a small bit disappointed when she was beaten at Sandown. I thought she'd win that day, but it turns out she bumped into a really good horse in Lumbenvoy, who went on and won the Mayor's Novice at Cheltenham. So maybe it wasn't disappointing. She was 1.5 lengths ahead of Nina the Terrier, getting £3 that day. So now she's given £3 to her. So you could argue that maybe Nina the Terrier could reverse, but she's had a hard race running in the Mayor's Novice down the field. So yeah, Speech Bubble's the class horse. She has top weight, and there's a few down the bottom that could be anything. You know, they've not shown a whole pile and running off, you know, marks in the 110 up to 115. But for me, I think she might be able to give the weight away. She's a nice horse.
Man, you're agreeing with each other again. Isn't this fantastic? So the both lads go for Speech Bubble. That's ITV Racing covered. So this is usually the time where I get your best bet of the weekend, Mr. Chapman. Some big prices. You can't just fire in an odds on double here. It's going to be tricky. So where is the best bet for Matt Chapman on Saturday afternoon?
Well, I'm so, so happy that Frank Hickey has been on this podcast, because my nap on Saturday will be History of Fashion in the Scottish Grand National, who is going to hack up for Pat
Vye. We could do a price of Pat Vye to win the Scottish National just in case, but History of Fashion. I've got a feeling, Frank, before we're going to have a quick word about Leopard's Den before we let Matt go, I've got a feeling that your nap might just be in that same race.
Oh yeah, Stormy Judge, Jesus. I know people say I'm easily excitable, but I'm particularly excited about this. I really can't wait. I just wanted to get a clear one. Like Danny Mullins as well. What can we say about him? He's been brilliant in the last year and a half or so, hasn't he? Yeah. I'd love to see him win this as well. He's a cracking lad.
Great off and on the track, I think it's fair to say.
Just a good egg.
Yeah, a really good egg. So you're both going in the Scottish Grand National. Fair play, lads. Can I put each way after any of those naps, or we win only?
You I'm going each way, but
you're both each way.
Stormy Judge will win. That's what I genuinely believe you will.
Jeez, Frank is very confident, Matt. You know, are you sure you're okay taking on this very strong nap, Matt? You okay?
I am, because he just said you can put each way in.
You can if you want, but I think you'll just win.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. It is a game of opinions.
We can do the Garland History of Fashion.
I mean, if it's a two-run jump to last, I will be texting you straight after. Don't worry. Thank you very much, Matt. I'm going to have a quick chat about Leopard's Den, and I'm going to say goodbye to you until we meet again next week ahead of Aintree.
Have a lovely time, Patrick. Lovely to see you, Frank. Don't get too upset when History of Fashion hacks up. Bye.
Okay, so Matt has gone. He's toddled off to another sunbed. Myself and Frank are just going to have a quick scan through what is an excellent card, the first of the flat season for Leopard's Den. It's their guineas and, well, both 2001 guineas trials, but also the Ballysacks, which is a recognised derby trial as well. The 235 is the 2000 guineas trial. Dr. Zemp, we've no prices, Frank, but we're just going to have a quick talk about this and flag up maybe some horses for listeners. Dr. Zemp is the top rated 111 with Ger Lyons and Colin Keane combining. He was a very smart two-year-old, disappointed in the middle park. You've also got Exquisite Acclaim for Jessica Harrington. Glowntane, he looked really smart last year before completely bombing out over in the Breeders' Cup for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien, and Ryan Moore rides that one. Are those the two to concentrate on, or is there something else?
It's going to be hard. Like, Dr. Zempf, he looked a bit speedy last year. I'm just not 100% sure about him. Well, I know, what's this?
Seven.
Yeah. I thought New Energy was a small bit interesting, to be honest. Look, I'm still trying to get back into the flat mode. You know, it's difficult to switch. But New Energy was a very impressive winner at the Curra. I think he was well backed as well. Like, you know, from the original price he was put in, maybe not on the show. But I thought he won really nicely that day, and he went off only 7-2 in the Kilavullen Stakes at Leopardstown. Look, he was a little bit disappointing, finishing 8th of 9, but he was only beaten 2 and a bit lengths. And it was, 3 weeks later, 3.5 weeks after, maybe. I just thought he might be a bit more drilled maybe than a few others here, and he's likely to be a bit of value, I'd be guessing. You'd have to respect that Jim Bulger's won it the last 2 years with Poetic Flair, who obviously went on and won the Guineas and California 10 the year before. He's got Mac Tighe, who did win a Leopardstown Maiden over a mile, disappointed a little bit at a big price in the Vertum Futurity. You'd respect him, but I just, but there's no price available at the moment, but New Energy is just one I'd be keeping an eye on if he was the price.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Sheila Lavery, Robbie Colgan combining there at New Energy. We'll keep an eye on that. The 1,000 Guineas trial, which is Group 3, the 2,000 only listed race, also over 7 furlongs. And just looking at the ratings, you've got Sacred Bridge, again for Gerlines and Colin Keane, who's top rated. Now, she, well, looked an absolute superstar, sent off 13-8 in the Sheebly Park last year, but she completely bombed out. She's beaten 8 1/4 lengths, and the trainer could offer no explanation. He was asked by the stewards what happened. I don't know what it is with Gerlines and his two-year-olds when they go over to the UK. Just things seem to happen to them. But she did look a potential superstar prior to that. Agartha for Joseph O'Brien, she rattled up a quick couple of wins before finishing second in the Moygler, so that's really solid form. Gerlines also has Panama Red, who's on a hat-trick. Joseph has got Sai Sai and Contarelli Chapel for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. She only had the 2 starts. She was 4th in a big Group 3 at over 6 furlongs back in May. So she obviously had a very short season last season. So Frank, there's some really interesting types here.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here, but did Contarelli Chapel have a chip on a bone or something? And that's
I would assume something must have happened because, yeah,
she was very impressive on her debut at Nace, and she was 2-7 that day when she was turned over. That was May last year. So obviously, I think that might be the reason. I'm pretty sure I read that. And for what it's worth, we have been laying her for the 1,000 Guineas itself in the last week. Some shrew money at big prices. So maybe she's, you know, fit and raring to go and could throw herself into the 1,000 Guineas mix here. Obviously, Sacred Bridge looked very good last year. She's stepping up to 7. Should get it on breeding.
Similar comments, similar to Dr. Zemp, isn't it? It's amazing the similarities. 6 furlongs, 6 furlongs, and this is the first go at 7.
She is related to, you know, winners over a mile and further, so you'd be hopeful enough she'd get it. But I just, again, with no price, it's tricky, but yeah, I'd probably be more just watching and, you know, taking notes for later on in the year rather than mad keen to have a bet on something.
That's fine. I can't tell you I was having, I think he'll let. I was chatting away to Fran Berry. We were doing a piece for Paddy Power Shops, and he was there at Dundalk when Star Girls Almal, I think is how you pronounce it, for Henry Bromhead won. And he said, she is a really nice filly and wouldn't be surprised if she outran what you would assume are pretty high odds. The Ballysacks is the recognised Derby trial. We've had some good winners of this down the years. 1 1/4. It's due off at 3:45. Again, I'm just going to look at the top rated horses. Buckaroo for Joseph O'Brien. Good game, that. Going to be top rated, but there's very little between all of them. I think there's only about 4 or 5 pounds between most of these. You've got Duke de Sessa for Dermot Weld, who did win the Airfield Stakes at the back end of the season at Leopardstown. Donegal O'Brien's got Piz Bedil in the Flaxman Silks, aka the Nyarkos Silks. Jim Bulger, Manu Ekorde. Aidan O'Brien has got Scriptwriter, Absolute Ruler. Dunica's Absolute Ruler. But Aidan's number one jockey, Ryan Moore, aboard Bluegrass. Any thoughts, Frank?
Oh, it's very tricky.
Yeah.
trying to pin it down. Like Duke de Sessa has got a £3 penalty for that Group 3 win. So you'd imagine that Piz Bedil should be able to reverse, considering he's beaten half a length. He's £3 better off. But yeah, I've no strong opinion. As I said, what's Aidan have? 1, 2, 3. Has he won 2 in there? Dunica's got a couple. Joseph's got a couple. Yeah. Just sit back and watch it and try.
That's fine. That's fine.
Someone,
watch it.
Someone, from a betting point of view, first time out, unless someone who knows tells you, I wouldn't be getting carried away with having a bet here.
That's fair enough. Again, Henry de Bromhead's got a runner in that. He could have an interesting day. He's got Venus Senna. Manu Ekorde, by the way, for those who are taking the prizes on Luxembourg to win the Guineas and the Derby, he's going to put that Luxembourg form to the test. He was beaten 2nd behind him at the Curra in the Beresford. Now, beaten 4 3/4 lengths, but be interesting. If he runs well, then confidence will...
Yeah, because a few gyms weren't in great form, but he'd... A winner in the maiden, well
Wexford, backed. Wexford native.
Yes, was quite impressive, actually. Mm-hmm. Nice horse. So yeah, you wouldn't be surprised if his, you know, really hit form now, would they? Sort of time of year that he's come alive. But yeah, it's a very tricky race. But yeah, I'm sure there'll be plenty of learnings for later on in the season.
Big time. Listen, thanks very much for that, Frank. Are you working this weekend? Are you golfing?
I'm actually off. It's my birthday on Sunday.
Ah, happy birthday, Frank. Yeah.
41, would you believe?
No, really?
41 years of age.
You don't look a day over 46.
No. I've no real plans because
you're turning 41.
I'll tell you, this is really what people want to hear about. But I was supposed to get a colonoscopy on Monday, and so I was going to be on doing the prep on Sunday, which is absolutely horrendous if anyone's never had a colonoscopy before. But it's actually been cancelled, and I just have a meeting with the consultant instead. So, you know, at least I won't be spending the day on the toilet on Sunday anyway, which is one positive.
My God, Frank, as birthday presents go, that's up there.
The best one I've ever got, I'd say.
I mean, the actual result is, but what you had set yourself up for was going to be literally the worst.
I was given the date. She was like, can you come in and do it on Monday the 4th? And I was like, I take the weekend off maybe to do something. I was like, yeah, okay, I suppose, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, you know what? Save it for your next wedding anniversary, I suppose. See if you can push it back.
Anything like that. The next Mother's Day. I'll just put it on that. Like, you know, so I'll have an excuse for, you know, maybe not be given out to as much.
Well, look, enjoy your weekend. It's better than it was originally going to be. Yeah. I hope you do enjoy your birthday. 41. Good man, Frank.
Yeah, all I want for my birthday is Stormy Judge to win the Scottish National.
And to not have to sit on the jacks for the weekend. Yeah, and you've got half it. You've got half it already. Well done. Thank you very much, Frank. We'll have you hopefully on the pod at least once next week. We're going to do one for every day at Aintree. So you're not busy trading races, are you?
I'm trading every day in price and stuff.
Perfect. So that means you're on the pod. That means you're on the pod. Lovely. Great. We'll find you. Look, otherwise, do watch out for those brilliant stuff that we've got on the Paddy Power social channels, the likes of The Rewind Show, Paul Carberry, and The Big Quiz. But also watch out for our podcast every day during Aintree. Until then, stay safe, stay well. Have a great weekend, folks, and we'll talk to you next week.